So this is section 3, preparation, cooking and presentation. Within this section, we're going to be looking at all the different things that you've learned from a practical perspective. So lots of your practical skills will be assessed within the theoretical content of this section. Okay, so we're going to start on page number 30. And as you can notice on page number 30, you've got lots of different vocabulary terms. These are cooking terms, terminology terms. And in essence, guys, what you need to do with these, very simple, is take each one, write it on a little scrap of paper, write the meaning on the back, and then just test yourself. Flip a piece over. What's that word? What does it mean? Look at the other side. What is the word? Therefore, what's the definition? And just keep turning them over, until you can recognize either the term or the definition, regardless of which side that you're looking at. Okay. Let's go over to page 31. Now we're looking at fish and poultry. Now in the exam, you're highly likely to get a sort of question that's going to ask you to give in-depth information about an ingredient. It might be meat, it might be eggs, cheese, milk, fish. But regardless of what comes up, you need to be thinking about the different kinds of things that might be relevant for any of those ingredients. So for example, what nutrients are found in those ingredients? How are they stored? How are they used within dishes? What different methods of cooking have we got? Can we produce hot and cold meals? Are they sweet and savory? These are just examples. So as you're going through your different sections within this chapter, just highlight some of the key things that are those standard things that are going to come up in lots of different forms of questions. Okay, so for example, if we look down through meat and poultry, it talks about how it needs to be prepared and cooked differently. All right, so we've got this tough cuts of meat that are chopped and stewed until tender. That would be for things like casseroles and stews, if you've got a very hard, very sort of tough and chewy piece of meat that's got lots of fat in it. Then we've got bigger joints of meat and whole birds are often roasted. By birds, it means things like turkey, duck, chicken. By joints of meat, it's talking about things like topside of beef or whether it's shin of beef or something that's quite big. Sometimes it might even have a bone going through the middle as well. Tender pieces of meat and chicken can be grilled. These are the kind of expensive pieces of meat. So things like chicken fillet, things like fillet steak, sirloin steak, and these are the kind of things that we can cook in a frying pan in a very quick space of time, and they're still juicy and tender. Remember, the cheaper the cut of meat, the lower the heat and the longer the time we cook it for. The more expensive, the shorter amount of time we cook it for, and the higher the temperature we cook it at. Now, meat and poultry are both described as a high-risk food, and we've already done that in our chapter one. And high risk, as you remember, is high protein foods that are highly susceptible to bacterial growth. All right, so we need to be very careful when we're working with things like chicken, because obviously they carry lots of bacteria and can cause food poisoning very easily. And because of this, going back to our hygiene rules, they should be stored in the fridge, remember at the base of the fridge, covered and making sure that they're well away from cooked meat. Okay, and it just talks there as also about how we need to check that certain meats are obviously thoroughly cooked, whilst other meats can be served pink. But clearly, using a temperature probe and testing for 75 degrees as our core temperature is going to be the safest way to ensure that any meat is safe to eat. All right, moving down to fish, we've got different classifications of fish. Fish is a very popular exam question. So you need to, within this section, notice that we've got different classifications of fish and they've given you examples for each. Again, fish is a high-risk food. It talks about how it should be stored in the fridge. And it also mentions how to check to see if fish is fresh. Now, a really good thing to do for both the meat section and the fish on page 31 would be to produce a revision card. And now would be a good time to pause the CD or whatever you're listening to and make a revision card for meat and poultry and one for fish. Okay, so as we've said, with all of these different sections that have questions on types of ingredients, so meat, fish, when we turn over to page 32 and 33, we've also got eggs now, we've got dairy products, fruits and vegetables, and you could get any big question, sort of like an 8-point question on any of these that have come up. So you need to make sure, again, like we said before, looking at those typical things that have been provided in the revision guide, what kind of things are going to be inclusive within that answer. So I might comment again about storage, about nutrition, how to cook, what we might serve it with, hot and cold, desserts, mains, starters, puddings, examples of dishes, how we prepare the ingredients. There's lots of different things. All right, so take your time, have a look through fruits and vegetables. You've got cereals, flour and pasta there. Eggs is on the other page. Eggs is a really popular question, so we're going to talk about that just a second, and dairy produce as well. Now notice on both the eggs and the dairy produce, again, we've got information that relates to safety of the ingredients and how we want to make sure that they don't become problematic, because again, high risk ingredients, protein content, and highly susceptible to bacterial growth. So we want to make sure that we don't give raw eggs to pregnant women, because they can cause major problems to small children or to elderly people. Also, with regard to any sort of dairy produce or eggs, we want to be checking things like sell-by dates before we use them. But really, guys, any big question on eggs, dairy, fruit and veg, cereals, fruits and pasta, you've got to be thinking about how you actually use those ingredients. So think of real examples, actual recipes that you've cooked where you've used those things. Now, the most significant part on page 32 at the base is where it talks about convenience products. Convenience products is a lesson that you should have had within your course. And clearly, this is a very important one, because you can have potentially lots of different sorts of questions on it. So for example, a typical question might be, what is a convenience product? And if you look there, it says convenience foods is anything that's ready prepared. It's any element of the method that has been done for you. So that can be as purely and simple as a washed lettuce or peeled tomatoes, yeah, that you buy in a tin. Now, convenience products, on the other hand, can be right at the other end, and they can be a completely ready-made meal. Right, so lots and lots of chefs use a wide range of convenience products. Not just lazy chefs, even some of the best chefs in the world are going to buy some things that have been done for them. For example, phyllo pastry or puff pastry, which is actually better than if they were to make it themselves. Okay, now, the other sorts of questions you might get on convenience pastry might be things like, outline the advantages and disadvantages, or why would a chef use convenience pastries or convenience products? So you need to actually think about categorizing those answers, okay? And if you produce a revision card on convenience products, you need to be thinking, what is a convenience product? What are some specific examples? And what are the advantages and disadvantages of using them? Again, all these notes should be in your books. So go back over your books, find those notes, and identify those key components and put them into a revision card. Now would be a good time to stop your CD and do that. Okay, turning over to page 34, we're now looking at some very specific elements related to cake making methods and pastry skills. All right, so we've got the creaming method, the whisking method, rubbing in, and melting method. Now, the most important thing with these is that, number one, you identify what ingredients are being combined together. So, for example, the creaming method is sugar and butter. Number two, you're identifying the success criteria of the outcome, right? So what should it look like when it's finished? So if this is rubbing in method, it should be rubbing into fine breadcrumbs. The third thing we should be looking out for each time is are there any sort of specific do's and don'ts, some sort of key tips, if you like, to being successful? So for example, when making scones, using cold butter straight from the fridge, making sure that your hands are cold, rolling out early in the morning so that the room is not hot. Making sure that with regard to each of these methods, you understand which recipes they're relevant for. And obviously with the rubbing in method, that's actually a massively wide range of recipes, because it includes all of our different pastries as well. So learn each of the methods, pretty straightforward. And the sorts of questions that you might get with regard to that content might be a missing word style question right at the beginning of your paper, where it might give you some words, and then you're asked to put them in the right place. So it's pretty straightforward content, and you should know this stuff pretty much off by heart. Okay, a little bit more complicated. Down at the bottom, we've actually got some information about sources. And again, you should have done a theory lesson on this. But you need to know how to make a roux sauce. This is your white sauce where you melt down some butter, you add some flour to make a paste, and then you add milk gradually over a low heat until the sauce thickens. So you need to make sure that you know how to make one of those and be able to use it within an answer. Again, very typical, all the stuff on page 34 would be at the very beginning of your paper and would be fairly straightforward questions. So an easy content should be something that you should go over a few times, but not focus on, because it won't be within the large questions. Okay, page 35, it talks about the making of dough. And I want you to think of dough as bread dough. All right, so you need to know the function of all the different ingredients within how you make bread, okay, and also how to either enrich the dough, and obviously our example here is Chelsea buns, which you've all made, but also maybe how to manipulate the dough and how to change it, which would then demonstrate how versatile it is. So for example, turning bread dough into a pizza would be about discussing how we make a tomato sauce, add it on top of the bread dough, which has been rolled out in a circle shape, and then toppings are added. Okay, the last element on page 35 is about pastry, okay, and the various different types of pastry. You would have done lots of different forms of pastry within your actual practical sessions, from your baking exam to maybe the puddings that you've done within your second exam. But again, make sure you go over this and produce a revision card covering the key components within that pastry section, okay? If you notice within number two element within the actual pastry blue square on your page, you've got lots of the rules, lots of the key things, the method things that would enable you to make successful pastry. And again, this should be pretty straightforward revision because you should know this off by heart already. Right, now all the content we've covered so far within section three is either for quite small questions or for our sort of medium length questions. The only big questions that you might have would again be related to specific ingredients and why they're important to a chef. And sometimes these ingredients are referred to as commodities. So why is egg an important commodity for a chef? It's just another word for ingredient. Now, you've obviously got questions on 36, 37, 38, and 39, in which you can test yourself, but you can also refer to the revision PowerPoint, and you're looking at section three to test yourself against a wider range of questions. Okay, moving on to page 40, and now we're looking at cooking methods. And again, these are all the different things that you should have learnt throughout your practicals during the course of the last 2 years or two terms, depending on which year group you're in. Now, with regard to these different things, again, making little revision cards is a good way to go, but you might find that a lot of this stuff is just common sense and you know it all already. So have a little read through, maybe highlight a few keywords. Okay, we've got information about different forms of wet cooking methods, so boiling, simmering, poaching, stewing, and braising. And really, guys, this is really straightforward stuff. So if you don't know an element of it and it's new to you, then make a revision card. If you do know it and you're very confident, just go through and highlight your keywords and just spend 5 minutes doing that now. Okay, now you've gone through and highlighted all of those wet different methods, but microwaving as well. We're now looking at page 42 and 43, and now we're looking at frying methods. Now, obviously, when we fry, we actually fry in some form of fat, okay, that's normally hot. And the idea behind frying and the difference between that and our wet cooking methods, were about tenderizing and softening, whereas frying is often about crisping up and getting color. So, for example, frying might be as purely simple as frying some onions, which we're trying to just saute within a pan, might maybe a little bit of oil. But frying might also be frying a steak. Okay, frying sometimes is just when it's in a little bit of oil and it's just about one side, and then we pick it up and turn it over, like, for example, a pork chop. But frying can also be deep frying, which means it's completely covered in oil and therefore all the sides are cooking at the same time. An example of that would be chips. Now, if you go down through each of these frying cooking methods, you're going to find that there are lots and lots of pieces of information that are very useful. Some of these are about technique, some of these about health and safety. And again, when you go down through, just highlight the key words that stand out. And then maybe, as a revision technique for this, produce for pages 42 and 43 a mind map, which is about